From the Word of God, Mark 13, beginning at verse 32. No one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son Himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when the time will come, be on guard. Stay alert. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long journey. When he left home, he gave each of his slaves instructions about the work they were to do, and he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. You too must keep watch. For you don't know when the master of the household will return. In the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone. Watch for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Something is about to happen. I tell you what keeps me coming to this church, the man said. He was dealing with the weight of the question, why do you go to church? I tell you what keeps me coming to this church, he said, and every head turned in his direction. It's strange, I know, but I get the feeling here, like nowhere else, that something's going to happen. The feeling that something is about to happen was a strange notion that the early Christians would have recognized as one of the truest marks of the church. They were convinced that they stood on the precipice of history, that something was about to happen. That history was about to be made. But for the world, time lumbered on, day after day, hour after hour, day after wearisome day, moving towards who knows what. But for the early Christian community, something was about to happen. And yet, as time crept forward, they had difficulty hoping. They probably read Psalm 33 like we did a few minutes ago and still had difficulty hoping. Where is the promise of His coming? Where is the promise of His coming? The skeptics asked. Not even a warning from the lips of Jesus can keep us vigilant, expectant, and hopeful forever. It's difficult to take heed and watch when nothing ever happens. And Mark knew this. That is why when he wrote these words from the passage we study today, he recorded two other words of Jesus as well. The first is simply this. Of that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven. Not even the Son of God Himself. But only the Father knows. This means that God's future will not arrive when we want it, plan it, or even think that we need it. It will come in God's own good time. The coming kingdom is a promise that cannot be turned into a set of predictions which we can manipulate. Somewhere in the last century and a quarter, century and a half, the church decided that they could take all the promises, all of the predictions in Scripture and put them together in one coherent picture. It's like taking several different jigsaw puzzles and dumping all the pieces into a bowl reaching into that bowl and pulling out a number of pieces and in trying to make a picture. It doesn't work. No one knows that day or that hour except for the Father in heaven. God doesn't provide happy endings for the futures we are engineering. He provides for a future that is beyond our knowledge and control, and not even the angels in heaven know when the hour is coming. Here's the simplest explanation. Thinking about the second coming of Jesus, throw out all the patterns, throw out all the diagrams, throw out all the books. Four things. Simplest explanation I know. Jesus is coming. Everyone's going to be there. No one's going to be late. And everyone's going to stay till it's over. And on that confidence, we can take heed. But even with this caution, we still have the question of how to hope in the meantime when nothing ever happens. And that's why Mark points to a second thing that Jesus said. And he tells a story about a man, a house owner, obviously a man of wealth and position, who had servants, slaves. And he said, I'm going on a journey, and to my servants, here's what you do. Here's your list. Here's your get it done. And to the guardian of the gate, the watchman of the gate, he said, you keep watch, because you don't know when I'm coming back. And that, of course, is a story of the situation of the church, left in our charge while the master's absent. We need to be constantly on the lookout. The house never in disarray. And you'll have to forgive a personal note at this point. I never read this song, Kyle, but I don't think about our Aunt Maudie. Kyle and I had an Aunt Maudie, Maudie Emma Christina. And she had a brother, our dad, who lived virtually next door, and two brothers who lived in New Jersey. And when the New Jersey brothers were going to come to visit, she would start at the top of the house and clean to the bottom of the house, and you didn't go into the house and do anything different except what she'd already done, because they're coming from New Jersey. And I never read this passage that I don't think about Aunt Maud cleaning the house for Uncle Don and Uncle Mayo to come to visit. And here's what Jesus is saying. You don't know when the coming is going to be. So get the house in order. Because you don't know if he's going to come in the evening, at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning. Keep watching, lest you be caught unawares when he comes. Now, at first glance, Jesus seems to be merely saying again, of that day or hour no one knows. But Mark hears something different. That's why he brings this story about the man going on the journey. He may come back at evening. And it's in the very next chapter that Mark says, when it was evening, they gathered around the table and Jesus shared the Last Supper with them. And as they're eating, and some of them are arguing about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of God, he looks at the 12 and he says, tonight one of you is going to betray me. It was evening. And then Jesus says in this story, or it might be at midnight. And when it was night, Mark writes a little bit later on, they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus said, watch with me, pray with me, my heart's heavy. He comes back and he finds the disciples asleep and says, could you not watch even 1 hour? They'd gotten weary of waiting. And perhaps the story says the master will come at cockcrow. Mark writes a little bit later on that little servant girl looked over at Peter and says, I know you, you're one of them, you're with him. And with a curse, he says, I tell you, I don't know this man. Then the cock crowed. Maybe the coming of the master will be in the morning. And Mark says, as soon as it was morning, Jesus was bound and led away to his trial and to his death. What Mark hears in this story from Jesus, he's woven into the fabric of his gospel. And here's what he's telling us. Every moment of every passing day is already alive with the promise of God's future. Every passing minute is filled with the potential for faith or denial, decision or tragedy, hope or despair. Those who trust in the promise of God's coming kingdom are able to see all around them the advancing signs of His coming. Even now, something is happening, shaped by God's future and filled with its force. I get the feeling here, the man said, like nowhere else, that something is about to happen. He said perhaps more than he knew. We sometimes lose sight of the fact that every moment of the church's life is formed by the expectation that something is about to happen. And this something has to do with God's coming in power to this world. Every time, as believers, we recite that phrase from the Apostles' Creed, He will come to judge the quick and the dead. We disclose our hope that frail human justice, the kind that's gotten by a sharp lawyer and a fat checkbook, is not the justice that will come when Jesus comes. It's not the justice that His life holds. Come, Lord Jesus. Every time Christian people speak words of forgiveness in circumstances of bitterness, words of love in situations of hatred, they're speaking in the future present tense. They are using a present language which the whole of creation will learn to speak in God's tomorrow. I think of Erica Kirk speaking after her husband was assassinated. And she said to the man who murdered Charlie, I forgive him because that's what Jesus would do. Every time we speak a word like that, we're speaking into God's future, the promise of tomorrow. Come, Lord Jesus. Tom Long is a contemporary Methodist preacher. He tells of teaching a confirmation class to a group of three young girls. And at one Sunday morning in the class, they'd gotten to the story of Pentecost. And he's telling the story of Acts chapter 2 to these girls, that suddenly there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole place where they were sitting. And then cloven tongues that looked like fire came down and hovered over each one of them. And then they began to speak languages they had not learned. And they spilled out into the streets. And people who didn't understand the words that they were speaking heard in their own language what was being said. And one of the girls looked astonished, and with her eyes wide open, said, Reverend Long, we must have been absent that Sunday. She's not misunderstanding Pentecost. She's understanding about the church. In her mind, there was a possibility that the event of Pentecost could have happened in that Sunday morning service. I get the feeling that here, like nowhere else, something is about to happen. Come, Lord Jesus. And it was the Lord Himself who said, "What I say to you, to those 12, I say to all, and that's us. Watch." I get the feeling that something's about to happen. Come, Lord Jesus. And now, in anticipation, let us declare our faith together as we recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So much of this season focuses on the manger and the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. But on the other side of the resurrection, and on this side of the resurrection, and on this side of the ascension, our focus should be on what Mark said in chapter 13, verse 37. "What I say to you, I say to all, watch. Something is about to happen." And now may the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.